Pulse One weather with White Cottage Car Centre, Cooper Bridge, Murfield. Cars to suit all budgets with finance available. Conditions apply.
It's hot, very hot. That's the weather forecast for today and tomorrow. Chances of a thunderstorm, but make sure you get the sun lotion out. It's going to be hot again.
Pulse One.
It's that time of the week again when we talk all things rugby league here on Pulse One. If that's your thing, don't go anywhere.
Pulse One. The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Provident Personal Credit.
Kia ora, g'day and good evening. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One, and we will be discussing all things rugby league from around the world. The terrible twosome, the gruesome twosome, the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, and yours truly, this is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
Leon, another week goes by, more games, more everything. You only played, Friday night you played your match against Leeds Rhinos once again. Two games in the space of a week against the same team. Let's not at first talk about how the body's feeling, because obviously short turnaround with a game on this evening and a game on... did you play on Sunday also?
Plus some next Sunday, yeah. Sunday we've got Wakefield again.
Oh, that's right. You got two. You had Leeds twice on the bounce. Well, how are you feeling?
Okay, not too bad. We've lost three games on the bounce, so that mentally more than physically can drain you, because obviously you start to doubt yourself as players and as a team, so it can be a little bit deflating, so you've just got to keep on going.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the game itself. It was a tough battle. You battled all the way, few mistakes. The weather conditions looked absolutely atrocious. It was warm, but it looked like it was absolutely coming down in bucket loads.
Well, I've played Leeds over the last couple of years, over the last 5 or 6 years, and there's no team, in my opinion, that plays the conditions in rain and wet better than Leeds Rhinos. I think they're the best team in wet conditions, and once again, they did that. They did so. We couldn't control the ball, and in the end up, it was just too much. They were the far superior team on the night and playing them conditions a lot better than us.
Leeds have this way of being they put pressure on you from the beginning, and I think I got to say this, Joe Westerman had a bit of a mare. He worked hard, he worked his cotton socks off, he worked his blood to the bone, but just too many drop balls from that man in particular.
Yeah, but at the same time as that, he never went hiding. It's very easy when you make mistakes
I think
as well as getting a little bit of criticism, obviously, for dropping the ball, I think he's received more praise for keep on going and battling through and trying to keep a player's way out of it. And I think that's quite pleasing from a lot of the rugby people who are in the knowledge that if you keep on trying and keep on trying, you don't go into your shell. And that's it, deserves a bit of credit too. He did have one of them games that he'll never have again in his life.
And we've all had them. I had too many.
He had one of them nights, but he won't play that bad again.
He is a great young player. I mean, he's like 23, 24 years of age. He's got loads of his career still in front of him. Probably the best years still to come.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get him on this radio show in the next couple of weeks. We'll get him on and have a chat.
Really?
With him. Yeah, we'll get him
on.
I'll get him on. Let's have a chat to him, because he's one of the cast. He's one of the cast lad, and he's quite fun. He's got a bit of character to him.
So just going back to your game against the Rhinos, they have this ability to just squeeze teams. And when I mean that, every single time they got in the position where they could take some points, they did that. Yeah. And I think in the Challenge Cup games, like it is in the playoffs when it's playing the Super League, that puts extra added pressure because, you know, when it's early in the game, you think, oh, there's still plenty of time to make up. It's only 8 points. You know, they scored a try, 6 points, but then they get a penalty and it's 8 points. But then as every minute goes, you know that you've got one less minute to make up those extra 2 points.
Yes.
And I think that starts to play games in your head, and it's a great attribute of the Leeds Rhinos team. That's one of their most successful tools that they used over the years has been their psychological pressure.
Yeah, well, obviously a lot of credit has got to go to Kevin Sinfield too. I think he was the man that made the decisions. Obviously it helps when you're such a good kicker like he
is.
Such a good goal kicker and a good field kicker in play as well. So I think on the night, a lot of credit has got to go to Kevin and the way that he led his team. the decision to go for 2 points all the time in them in big games and in wet games, going for 2 points is always, you always see teams do it, don't you?
Yeah.
If it's the first minute of the game or just before half time, whatever it is, they always go for two.
But this is one of the things that I've recognised with Leeds, and especially Kevin Sinfield, because he's got a bullet of a boot, and he's, you know, the target very rarely misses. I think statistically in the Super League, for someone that's kicked the ball as much as he has, he's the number one, statistically speaking. Actually, I think I've got the statistics, but I think that was only two kicks from two that I did take. But 100% record, you've got to be happy with that. But they have this, he specifically, during the playoffs and during the Challenge Cup matches, he will always take the two, whether rain, sun or shine, or they're putting the team under the pump. Early on in the game, what they'll do is make sure that they put that, they get out in front of you and they get that psychological pressure on you.
Yeah, it's good. And obviously, that's one of the reasons why he's been such a good player and a class player at the top of the game for a very, very long time. So yeah, it put us under the pump. Looking back on the game, maybe we should have gone for two a couple of times, but we backed ourselves and we had confidence in our attack. It just didn't come off on the night, and it was disappointing, yep, really, because the effort was there but the skill level wasn't there, and that's the most disappointing thing. When we put a lot of hard work in, it feels a little bit worse because you know you've tried your best.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Obviously, I get updated regularly, weekly, about how Hull FC are going, and I obviously, because you're on the show and we're mates, I keep an eye out to see, you know, read up on how you guys are going. And it just, for me, it started to be a little frustrating for you guys also, because every time you seem to get yourself into position where you'd be setting up for plays, then you knock the ball in. And I tell you what, the Sky cameras kept going up to Lee Radford, and you could just see him getting, oh, you'd see Radders getting angrier and angrier.
Yeah, and like, you know, you would do if you were a coach as well. But I think the biggest thing that I've learned over my career is not to doubt yourself. It can be very easy to go into your shell and, am I doing the right thing? Am I coaching the right way? Am I giving the right tactics? Am I picking the right team? Am I coaching the right way? But we've proven.
Oh, you're too old to go into your shell.
We've proven we can do it over a long period of time. We've played in some really good games. We've beaten Warrington. You know, we've beaten some top teams, and you know, you just got to keep believing in yourself and keep on going. And that's the thing, I think, in my opinion, you've got to keep on going.
Okay, well, you guys are playing tonight against Wakefield. Obviously, you're sat here next to me. You're not playing tonight.
No, I'm having a rest. The body's having a rest this week. Hopefully, be right for Sunday.
Yeah, you do right. Who's sort of deputising for you in your position?
They've put Jordan Abdul and Jordan Rankin will be playing the halfbacks.
Jordan Abdul, the biggest halfback in the world. Actually, no, you're a big halfback as well, aren't you?
I'm pretty tall, yeah.
You're long. You're the longest halfback.
He's going all right, Mamelo. He's going all right.
I mean, he's a tank, isn't he? I don't know if it was his debut last year, or I saw one of the early games he played in. He ran straight over top of a couple of forwards and scored a brilliant try.
He'll end up in the loose forward in probably a couple of times.
He reminds me a lot of Danny Eddy up at the Bulls.
He's skillful, really skillful. He's got a massive boot on him as well, so, you know, he's got a lot of attributes. He'll definitely grow into that role as he keeps on going.
Growing being an operative word. I'm up at the Bulls this evening. The Bulls take on Featherstone in a rematch, a remade-up game. Obviously, the Bulls are supposed to play Featherstone about 3 or 4 weeks ago, but they were still in the cup. So they rescheduled it for this evening up at the Bulls. Oh, it's going on. So this is what I'm going to challenge you now. Put your earphones in your smartphones. Go on to the pulse1.co.uk and click on listen live and listen to me and Leon while you're walking up to the Bulls right now, and go up and enjoy some live rugby also. Hottest day of the year. What about this week? It's been absolutely brilliant, hasn't it?
Well, in my opinion, when the sun comes out, there's no better country in the world than England. It's such a glorious, glorious country, and, you know, the British people definitely enjoy the sunshine. There'll be people out in the beer gardens, people out in the park.
Can I ask a question, though?
Go on, then.
Can I ask a question? It's because we don't get it that often.
That's correct.
That we really, really value
enjoy it.
Like, you know, if you're an Aussie and you know, 365 days of the year, but 360 days of that year is sunny and hot, you don't appreciate it, do you?
They don't appreciate it. But listen, this country, we have sunshine, we do not celebrate.
You know, in that famous quote you made, forget Manly Beach, forget Bondi Beach, give me
Blackpool
Beach any day of the week.
Is
it like days this week?
I want to be serious.
I know. But the only thing was that, because there's all the bars up in the background. around. So you hang out with the kids at one point and then, you know, get some donkey rides and then get up and get
a
beer
also.
You can't beat it. You can't beat it. Let's just have a look at some of the matches before we run out of time in this segment. Holkar, 32 points over Catalan Dragon. That was a tough battle. Did you expect Catalan to lose that game? It was a high point scoring game.
It was just the momentum, wasn't it? I think Zebtay was playing injured, which had a massive impact on the game.
And he's been outstanding for them this year.
That's probably been one of the best players in Super League. And I thought the momentum of the referee's calls changed the game from the first half, where Holkar had a lot of the momentum calls, and then they shifted to Catalans early in the second half, and I think that's what they gained a lot of momentum. So, yeah, it was a funny old game.
It was a funny old game, mate. The other two Challenge Cup matches of the round, St. Helens 36, Widnes 20. Did you get a chance to watch that match?
I watched parts of it, yeah. I thought, you know, they were quite close for a while. But
yeah, you witness always a bit of a tricky team for for St. Helens, aren't they?
But it went the way that we expected. Saints always had a little bit too much class and got there in the end.
Well, as they say, you know, their cream always rises to the top. And what I thought was probably one of the most interesting games, and that was Championships, Lee Centurions taking on Warrington Wolves. I tell you, the chances that Lee got on the Saturday afternoon, the chances that they took were absolutely brilliant because they executed them really well. And I think that's what makes Lee Centurions really dangerous.
Well, I think I've underestimated Lee a little bit this year. And, you know, I'm not seeing them play that much. And I thought they'd struggle when they come up against a really top Super League team. But the rugby that they're playing, the brand and the style that they play,
it's entertaining, isn't it?
Great, really great. Fantastic rugby to watch.
I tell you, that's one of the matchups that I'm really looking forward to come the 19th of July, and that's when the Bradford Bulls and the Lee Centurions, effectively at this point in the season, they will be fighting it out for the championship title.
Yeah, I think obviously between them two teams are going to cause Super League teams, the teams that are in Super League at the moment, a lot of trouble when it merges together and splits into another competition. I think Lee are going to really cause a lot of trouble and they could be up in Super League next year, in my opinion.
Alright, Warrington were, as we expected, they came out in the second half, they sped up the game, and I think they were just able to, you know, just show that high Super League class that they do have. Alright, loads to cover, including looking at all the sports hot topics, all that and more, coming up after the break. So stay with us here on Pulse One.
Super League, Championship, NRL, Challenge Cup, whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
Hey, West Yorkshire, RHP here, and we're talking rugby league every Wednesday evening here on Pulse One on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. Before we go into the hot topics, Leon, I just thought I'd just cover quickly the championship rounds. Obviously, all the Super League clubs had the weekend off. They weren't playing in the Super League. So just a quick look back. Bradford Bulls 34 points over Batley Bulldogs 16. It was a tough day for the Bulls. We really had to come from behind. Started well and ended well. I think that's the tale of the game. Doncaster 18 points, still struggling. Whitehaven came away to Doncaster and beat them 50 points to 18. Donny really going to have to dig deep if they're going to find any points this season. Also, the London Broncos went down to a very dominant Halifax. Halifax really hit their form at this point in time. So that score was 46 points to 22. Broncos losing out in that one. High point scoring game at Hunslet. The Hawks took on the Featherstone Rovers and there was 34 points to 42. Comments coming out of that game that both teams wanted to attack but neither team wanted to defend. But Hunslet coach very happy with their performance. Just a little bit disappointed that they leaked a couple of easy tries. And the final game of that round was Sheffield Eagles 26, Workington Town 6. Workington really struggling at this point in time, and Sheffield trying to consolidate their position within the top four of the championship. Now, starting with the hot topics, Leon, I think we'll start with the Wildcats. Michael Carter has pushed Wakefield Council, stating that the club is handing in their six-month notice. Now, this is a massive, massive statement from the Wildcats chairman. Mainly and purely because there's been rugby league at that ground for something like 120 odd years. I mean, it's a big statement to say, actually, 6 months, I'm handing in my notice. The club's handing in its notice from renting, we're going to go find somewhere else.
It is a big statement. Maybe that's the problem, that they've been there for 120 years and it needs some updating, and the stadium needs to attract new fans. And and there's nothing better than a new stadium to attract new fans to watch your team and create new revenue and what have you. So, yeah, it's, you know, it'll be a sad day when they've got to move, but I think it's long, long overdue, isn't
now,
it?
Now, you went to Knowsley, or were you at St Helens when they were at Knowsley Road?
Yes.
And then with the move to Langtree Park?
No, I was at Knowsley Road, and then we had a year at Widnes, and that was my last year.
Ah, that was
whilst,
right.
Whilst we were moving, yeah. So
I forgot about that year at Widnes.
Yeah, we were at
Widnes
for
a year.
I was injured all that year, so no, I hardly played there.
Oh, that's because you had already signed for Catalans,
huh? No, I was old and tired and rubbish.
You're older now.
I know.
And well, you're not older now, you're just more mature now, yeah.
Supposedly.
Some of the supporters obviously saying the club will die if the club moves away from that ground, and I'm guessing that's probably more of the emotive
old school.
Yeah, the old school. They you know, have turned out week in, week out since their fathers and their fathers' fathers turned out to watch. And I think that's one of those things that's really hard. You know that your blood is in the soil of a stadium.
Knowsley Road was the same, and they've moved to Langtree Park, and look at the crowds they're getting now. They're getting 17, 18, 19,000 for some games.
And I think that's the problem, is it? It's changed.
We're 2015, we want up-to-date facilities. We don't want to go for a shower after the game and it's cold showers. You don't want to go into changing rooms and it stinks and it's cold and horrible. You want to be up-to-date. You want to be, you know, modern. Players want to play on the best stadium, in the best stadiums, and you know, it's 2015, it's not 1905.
Yeah, you're right, but I got to admit that the older stadiums like Knowsley Road and the Jungle, you know, the Mendenhall's Jungle at Castleford, and Wakefield, when it's busy, when it's packed, there's an atmosphere that is hard to replicate in the new stadiums, purely and simply down to health and safety laws. When you're stood shoulder to shoulder with someone and the person behind you is literally has their chin on your shoulder, with new health and safety laws, you've got a lot more space, but it creates a certain type of atmosphere that you don't get in the new stadiums. And I think, I got to admit, I really enjoy that. It's kind of like running out at Headingley and them not having the South Stand. The South Stand is where all the energy is created in that stadium.
It is, but in the modern stadiums, you can still put a standing area in some areas. At Saints, behind the sticks, there's an area for standing. So you can always leave one area or two areas that are free for the fans to stand. At Warrington, one side is all standing.
Yeah.
And then the other behind the sticks for the away fans is all standing. So you can make a stadium modern, but at the same time, keep some of
great,
the...
Great counter-argument. And if you're thinking about trying to entertain brand new supporters, so let's say, for example, a mum and father bringing their 4 or 5-year-old child to the game for the first time. Sometimes, you know, and they've got a discounted voucher from the community foundation, whatever club that they work for, and they sometimes it can be a little intimidating going into those sort of environments.
Also,
so if you have seats around you and space and a ticket for a seat,
absolutely,
it's probably a little bit easier to go in at that level, isn't it?
And also, yeah, I agree with 100%. And also the corporate side of it, which you know a lot more than me.
Yep.
Surely for corporate companies and what have you, coming to a brand new stadium with, you know, boxes and the game day activities and meals, sponsorships, I'm sure that would bring in a lot more money to the club and be a lot more interesting.
And that is hugely important.
That's
because, I mean, the way it kind of breaks down, and this is not an exact science as I'm explaining it, but it's sort of like a third of your revenue will come from the governing body and its TV monies, and a third of your revenue will come from supporters and ticket sales, and then another third of your revenue will come from the corporate sector, and that's where your main sponsor and your perimeter board sponsors and your website sponsor, all of those sort of things, and hospitality, which is what you're talking about. People want to bring, because if you understand supporters, people don't just come just for the rugby. They come to also entertain other businesses and other guests and people that they want to bring along and show a good night out so they can get business. So there definitely is that corporate angle to it. But Michael Carter is saying that actually, if we move around, if the supporters, some of the older supporters are saying that the club will die, he's saying it's going to die anyway. So his hand has kind of been forced. He said to make clear, Michael Carter is saying he doesn't want to leave. If they could have built a brand new stadium on the site, but as I understand it, it's just not feasible. He doesn't want to move, but his hand is being forced, and they're actually looking at a couple of options as we speak. And I'd love to know. I mean, you got to think about what stadiums around that area can hold. You know, what they're hoping, 5,000 to 10,000 people. I can't think of any stadiums in the Wakefield area that can do that.
No, I'm not too. No, I'm not too sure.
I mean,
sure.
The closest stadium
are they not looking to build a new stadium?
Well, that's their hope, and I think what we're looking at here is putting a little bit of pressure on the council to start the planning moving forward. You know, there's been a lot of talk of the planning, and there's been positions that they've actually identified also, but the talks have stalled. But the reality is, you know, we've been for a recession. There's been a lot of cutbacks from a government point of view to local councils, and the question is where do you find the money from? I think what a lot of areas want, they want, you know, like the big one of the big supermarket chains to sort of step up to the point and say, actually, we'll invest if we can get a number of partners on board.
Mr. Morrison's or Mr. Tesco's?
Mr. Morrison, he's a Bradford lad, man. You should know that. what other clubs, though? I mean, if they have to, you know, like St. Helens stayed around and witness, and obviously that was local, what other clubs could do it?
Cass is a little more close.
Oh, they'll never do that, would they?
No, I have no idea. I have no idea what they're going to do. But
maybe John Smith Stadium?
Yeah.
Come across to
Featherstone?
To the Providence Stadium?
Not too far, is it?
No, you're right. Featherstone's not too far. It's probably closest out of all of them, but they could be concerned that, you know, some supporters might like it that much and they might stay as Featherston supporters. Oh, we'll see. Okay, Paul Wellens, just talking about St. Helens briefly. Paul Wellens obviously calling it a day due to his hip injury. If I can just read out, he had 495 games for Saints, 231 tries, he had a bunch of goals, also over 1,000 points scored over the course of his career, 31 games for GB in England, 4 rep matches for Lancashire. I think that's the only thing that's wrong with him, isn't it? He's a lovely lad. He's an absolute gentleman. Good fella. He's worked his career into the bone. He's got the accolades. He's got the silverware. But the only problem we're looking at here is from Lancashire.
Yeah, I know. We don't like that, do we?
But what can you say about the man? He's a he's been an inspiration for St. Helens, hasn't he?
I played for 6 years at Saints, and you know, it's not very often, and the only thing I could give him credit for is it's not very often for me that I've been inspired by players that I've played with. There's not many that I could say really inspired me to play better and to improve my performance. Wellow was one of them.
I'm not giving you enough
over years. But he inspired players to play better every single game. His passion for the club is the way that he plays the game, so tough, and you know, never he's out of the fight. He's always in the fight in the game, no matter how far you're behind or if you're in front. He's just so competitive, and it's a credit to Saints, really. Saints to the core. He's, like I say, he's a fan of the club and an inspirational player to play alongside. Them stats are there, just ridiculous, aren't they?
They are. They're absolutely ridiculous. Incredible. And but he's had to pull the plug on his career because he's got a terrible hip injury, which is that is an old man's injury, isn't it?
Well, basically, he's got to have a hip replacement. And what they've said is they'll try and get him through till 40, and then he'll have a hip replacement. So, you know, rugby league's a tough sport.
We've got to bring into sort of player welfare that we're trying to shine the light on right here, and quality of life post career. I mean, I've had a couple of neck operations, had a fusion on my spine, of two of my vertebrae. Not a fusion of my whole spine, a couple of my vertebrae. There's days where I will wake up and I've just got banging headaches because of tension and, you know, what's going on due to flexibility that I have. I mean, are those any of your concerns?
Oh, 100%. I mean, if I'm getting to that age now, I'm nearly ready to retire, and speaking to the players that I've retired, like Nick Fozard, yourself, Rob Parker, people like those, people now that it's hard to walk around the house at home and walk around the park without feeling in pain. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm sure we're going to feel it for the rest of our lives.
All right, stay around, listeners. We'll be back soon. We'll continue with all the hot topics, including yours. All that and more coming soon.
On 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB, and online at pulse1.co.uk. It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
You're listening to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show here on Pulse One, and we're still covering all of the sports hot topics. We've had a look back at the Wildcats threatening to leave their ground, putting a bit of pressure on the council. We also had a chat about Paul Wellens calling it a day due to his hip injury, with his fantastic record, and mentioned the quality of life and post-career concerns that Leon has because he's getting long in the tooth. Leon, the next hot topic up is the Ladbrokes Challenge Cup, and now they're going to break tradition and play one of the semi-final matches on a Friday night. That game is Leeds versus St Helens. It will be played on the neutral ground of Warrington's Halliwell Jones Stadium on BBC 2, 7:30. I think the kickoff time is at, no, sorry, it's 8 o'clock kickoff time at night. That's a massive innovation for the Challenge Cup, because normally it's played on a Saturday and Sunday afternoon. With that kickoff time of the evening, you're talking about primetime TV with, you know, that's got a reach that no other television channel really does have at that time. So what normally you're looking at probably anywhere between 2 to 3 million, 4 million people watching, in this time we probably will be looking at potentially 4 to 8 million, anywhere within that. What are your thoughts on that? It's a great innovation for the sport.
It is, yeah. Like I say, I'm a very big fan of the Saturday afternoon games on the BBC, especially the semi-final. It's, you know, it's a great tradition. I know the players enjoy it, but at the same time, we're a game that rugby league is a game that's always trying to move forward. And I think they did it. I think they did it a couple of months ago with one of the test matches in rugby union.
Yep.
One of the Wales games. I think that was a Friday night, and I know they're a bit of a hoo-ha about that, but
yeah.
You know, if more people are getting to watch it and it's spreading the word of rugby league and more viewers are watching, then why not? I'll give it a go.
And what a game to highlight on that, Leeds versus St.
It'll be the
Helens.
Best game of the year, won't it? To get to the Challenge Cup final, two of the best teams with the biggest rivalry over the last 7 or 8 years.
Well, semi-final, isn't it? I see what you're saying. Two teams that have got there year upon year. Leeds last year's champions, obviously. You got there and won it with St. Helens. St. Helens were a nightmare for me as a from a Challenge Cup point of view, but yeah, two teams in the modern game, they've got such history with the Challenge
Cup.
Also,
in the Grand Finals as well. The Grand Finals have always been
the Super League Grand Finals.
The Super League Grand Finals being against each other. So the finals and semi-finals have battled against each other, you know, massively over the last couple of years.
I mean, you're arguably, obviously, with Wigan and Bradford Bull thrown in the mix, arguably the two biggest Super League clubs in the modern era.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, with the most decorated players in them ranks as well, with Peacock retiring and Sinfield retiring.
They got everything to play for, haven't they?
They've got everything to play for. So, in my opinion, Leeds might be just slight favourites, but not by much.
Yeah. And the second game is the following day, and that's Warrington versus Hull KR, and it'll be played again in neutral grounds at Headingley in Leeds. And that's the following day. But interestingly, this has a 12:45 kickoff. Now that's. I mean, you said that you enjoyed Saturday afternoon kickoffs, but that's not really to me. That's still brunch time.
Okay. So what's the idea behind this one? Then do we get more fans at this time as well?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
I tell you what, if it's baking hot, you won't be happy, would you? Because 12:45 in the afternoon on a hot summer's day, you really do feel it in that heat. I mean, it'll be crazy hot if it's warm around that time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it could be good. It'd be a good game. I tell you, that game is a complete, you know, 50-50. I think Hull KR have come into a good bit of form late.
Yep.
Warrington have been struggling really over the last couple of three or four weeks. They've been struggling in the league.
You know, this is what I saw of Warrington when watching them on the weekend, is that they have a great way of getting themselves into position, but they just don't seem to have that. They just don't seem to be directing themselves completely. And I think we spoke about it a week before, you know, just talking about the youngsters that they have within the position in the halves, you know, the decision makers that they do have. Because with losing Michael Monaghan and losing Lee Breers last season, they've not been able to fill that mature rank, you know, someone with an old head on their shoulders.
Yeah, but at the same time, as well as that, they're missing them players and that kind of, you know, maturity maybe on the field. In a semi-final, it brings the best out in all players. So, you know, I'm expecting to get that game that will bring the best out in players like Ratchford and Myler and the young O'Brien and players like that. So that's going to be a really, really good game.
Okay, I have everything to play for, though. They've not made a Challenge Cup final since 1986.
Yeah,
that's a long, long wait for a very proud club.
If OKR are ever going to reach the final, it's going to be this year. I think, in my opinion, this is the best chance that they're going to have. I think they're looking very... very healthy, in a very healthy position at the moment, OKR, with still being in the Challenge Cup and sitting, you know, near the playoffs for the Super
League. Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, we're talking about that's a 50-50. Just finally, on Warrington, before we move any further and move away from the Challenge Cup, did you get a chance? And I know it's been going around on social media to see Kevin Penny's leap of faith.
Yeah, I did. I did see
absolutely
it.
Brilliant,
crazy,
wasn't it?
Crazy try. And, you know, like we spoke about Kevin Penny early on in the year and give him a lot of credit for the way he's come back from his setbacks.
Yeah,
dropping down a few leagues. leagues and not really doing.
I actually thought we'd never see him.
No, me neither, absolutely. And the way he's come back has been fantastic. He deserves a hell of an amount of credit for what he's done. And that try is just.
He epitomised what he can bring.
Yeah, it's an NRL try, isn't it? The bit of tries that we see in the NRL, but not very regular in Super League. And that's sometimes the difference between NRL and Super League, is that we've not got some of the outside backs that they've got that can score these athletic tries. And for me, when I watched that, I thought, that's NRL.
Well, interesting. They talk about it at Warrington that they actually do practice that.
Yeah, we do at Hull.
Do you?
Yeah, so Tom Lynham loves it.
Just imagine, you know,
he just jumps into touch those rather than put ball down. He jumps into standing with fans.
Yeah. Imagine, do you remember when we were playing? When I was playing and you were playing back in the day with me. If Nobby had watched our wingers practicing that, he would have thought.
It is a get inside, go inside and get changed, wasn't it? But yeah, but it's a fantastic rule that they changed in the NRL, and then we brought it over here in England to wipe out the corner flag, so that you're not in touch if you touch the corner flag. And I think it's just creating more excitement. It's the best rule that's been invented.
It is, hasn't it? Yeah. It's the most brilliant innovative rule that they've actually come up with.
Yeah, it just makes the game so much more exciting, and there's a lot more tries being able to be scored because of that rule. So it's been fantastic for the game, both here and in Australia.
All right, actually, another brilliant innovation that the BBC have decided to add to their repertoire of tools for communicating. Obviously, it's hard to compete sometimes with Sky because there are so many cameras, so much investment going into it. So the BBC have to approach it a little bit differently. And what they've taken was actually they do it down under. They mic'd up Jamie Peacock a month and a half ago when they played in the sixth round of the Challenge Cup. But this time they mic'd up Ashton Sims, and I think we've just got a small sample of that, so we're going to listen to that now.
Let's go. Hey, this is what we want. This is the game we want. Hey, in numbers.
Ridyard to Brierley. Brierley puts the kick to the in-goal area. There's a cluster after it.
We talked that whole play up at training all week. We talked it up.
Hey, Drew, can I grab a dry towel, please, mate?
Drago, can I grab some spray, mate?
Go, mate, yeah, water.
Go, Rhino! Go, Rhino!
Yeah. How'd you go?
Yeah, got it.
Yeah? You've been absolutely excellent since you've been on.
Hey, we're in a quarter final here. It's a dog fight. Let's go. Don't lose it now. Don't lose it now.
We've got 10 minutes to go. Get up here. Boys, give me ice. This is the biggest set of the season. I'm not mucking around. You get down, you play that ball. Get your head on. Shoulder charge. Go with him.
The hooter sounds in the background. The referee blows his whistle.
Mate, hey, you can lift your head high, mate. I reckon you're a good player. You all right?
Good stuff, buddy.
Where'd you get your engine from? What up, mate? What up, big man? Top gun, man.
How you going? Happy birthday.
Did you see Dad score a try?
Oh, try.
Leon, what do you think about that Ashton Sims getting mic'd up? You can see he's pumped up. He's a typical Aussie front row, and come on, screaming when he scores a try.
Yeah, it's great. I think it's fantastic for fans. I mean, I enjoy listening to it myself.
Did you see him in the game the next day doing the stuff?
Yeah, I did.
Did you see the big collars?
Aussie collar.
You've got Aussie style. Love that.
But yeah, I think it's great. I think, well, I watched JP when he did it, and the lads at Hull, they just said they're dying for me to get mic'd up on game day because I turn into an absolute crazy maniac.
It'd just be beep, beep,
yeah, yeah,
beep,
yeah,
beep.
Be one of them ones where you think there's something wrong with him because they all think I'm crazy anyway. So maybe one day I'll give the world a little glimpse of how absolutely insane I am.
Actually, when you watch you walking around the field, you do walk around and you do say a lot, and you gesture with your hands. You talk with your hands, don't you? And you're pointing out and you yell at people. I like you because when you get angry, your brows go together.
I'm always angry. I'm never happy on field, even if I'm doing something good. So yeah, no, I love it. I love the BBC. I love the way they're bringing the game forward, and I love listening to players on the field and what they get up to. I mean, they use it in the NFL as well, and I've always watched them ones on YouTube. So I think it's brilliant for fans.
Well, that's brilliant. All right, coming up, we're going to take a break now, but coming up next, we'll be looking forward to the games of this upcoming weekend. And actually, it's a busy week. There's games tonight. There was games last night. There's games all weekend long. It's a rugby league festival coming up. All that and more coming soon.
The latest news and the opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. The Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show here on Pulse One. We are continuing on with our look at all things rugby league, as well as looking at this weekend's upcoming matches across all competitions. Leon, just before we go on, Sia Soliola stating Elliot Whitehead will be a massive coup for his Canberra Raiders. Sia Soliola come from St. Helens, left there last year. I actually thought he was one of their best players over the recent years. Picked up a Super League ring last year with the success with St. Helens in that tough fought battle against Wigan. Joined the Canberra Raiders, playing absolutely brilliant for them down there with Josh Hodgson. Obviously, your pal Elliot Whitehead, former Bradford lad, is joining them next year. And Sia Soliola saying it'd be an absolute coup for the game down under.
Absolutely, yeah. And we both know that as well. I think it's perfect timing for Elliot. He's one of my very best friends, and I'm really happy for him. I think it's perfect timing in his career. He's at the age where he's matured. He's coming into his prime years as a rugby league player. He's had a fantastic year last year. Probably not the same impact this year, but still playing decent rugby. And I think when he gets down there, get coached properly, playing with even better players week in, week out, probably his fitness and his strength will go up heaps because the pre-season's so hard over there. And I think you'll see him play his best rugby. He'll come into great form, and hopefully over the next couple of years he'll be a regular in the England side, and that's my hope that he'll do so.
Do you also think it's interesting that Sia Soliola, not only are the coaches and they're talking about the players in the British game, but they're also talking the players themselves are now looking at the British game because of the success of the Burgesses and James Graham and all these forwards that are coming across and doing such a fantastic job. All the players are now looking at this marketplace and thinking, actually, there's a great deal of talent over there as well.
100%, yeah. I think it's great for Super League. We're starting to finally get some recognition, because we've always had the players to perform against them, but sometimes it's just the recognition and the chance to go out there, and the way that the dollar and the pound works now, and especially with the way that their salary cap's gone up and they've got a minimum wage over there. It's really, really attractive for English players to go down there now, whereas it wasn't maybe like that 10 years ago, where the pound was so strong over here that the Aussie players all wanted to come over here because they get 3-1 basically, and now it's working the other way, that the salary cap's gone up so much that the players, the good English players over here, they can go down there and still earn a good living and play in the best competition at the same time.
It sure is. So let's have a look at the upcoming games this weekend. Like we said, games tonight, games tomorrow night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Actually, no games on Saturday, but the rest of the week is pretty full. You guys are facing off against Wakefield Trinity Wildcats. You're across at the Wildcats tonight. Brian Smith has been turning them around. You're going to pop out there to watch the game, but you're not playing. What are your thoughts on how you guys will perform this evening?
I don't think we can underestimate Wakefield. I've been speaking to Lee Gilmore's their assistant coach, and he's been telling me how amazing Brian Smith is, how detailed he is, and how he's changed things around, and how he's just been working on all the small things, not the big picture, but how he speaks so well, and I think he's put a lot of detail into the work that he's done. I think you can tell his experience from speaking to Lee. He's kind of been blown away by his coaching methods, and there'll be a much improved Wakefield, very much improved Wakefield, so it's going to be a really tough game.
Well, me and you both know Gilly really well. I wonder if Brian Smith's seen the true side of Gilly yet.
No, Gilly, I think Gilly's a little bit in awe, really, and he's not usually like that, is he? He's a lily, and I can't believe it. He's just he's brilliant, and you know what he's like, Gilly.
Yeah, the accent there. Well, actually, that sounds exactly like Lee Gilmore. We need to get Gilly back on the show. Actually, it's been a long time since he's been back on the show. He can tell us exactly how things are going from the horse's mouth himself. Another game on this evening, obviously, I'm up at the Bradford Bulls, Featherston Rovers. Big match tonight. The Bulls are sitting on top of the table with a game in hand against the Lee Centurions. So for the Bulls, from the Bulls' point of view, they need to keep the pressure on the Centurions, and picking up two extra points this evening will do exactly that. But from Featherston's point of view, they're sitting on 24 points with Halifax, and this gives them an opportunity because they have a game in hand against Halifax to pick up 2 points, and that'll put them above Halifax and importantly in that top four, because the top four from the championship will be playing against the bottom four in the championship once we hit the middle eights or the super eights period. So big game for both clubs. Come up to the Bulls, join me, we're going to have some fun up there Wednesday evening at the Bulls. And if you're near Wakefield, then if you want to get over to Wakefield, if Brath it's too far away, then go see Leon and the boys playing against the Wildcats. Thursday evening, we've got Warrington Wolves versus the Wigan Warriors. That's a big game, isn't it?
Yes.
At the Halliwell Jones Stadium in Warrington.
Massive game, yeah. Obviously, with Warrington struggling for a little bit of form, you'd probably say that Wigan are slight favourites that. So, yeah, it'd be a really tough game, really tough battle.
Then we've got on the Friday evening, we've got the first step, or the first time we'll get to see the matchup in that Challenge Cup that we've been talking about on the Friday night, which is the Leeds Rhinos versus St Helens game. But that's a Super League game this Friday night coming up. This will give us an inkling of what we can perhaps see in a month's time.
Yeah, maybe. The way Leeds are going and the way that they've played against us over the last couple of weeks, I think, in my opinion, they'll be slight favourites. They're a really tough team, dogged team to beat. So with Sinfield back in the team in the starting lineup, I think they're a much better team, a much better controlled team around the park. So I think that gives them a better chance of winning games.
All right, just quickly at the other games on the Sunday afternoon, we've got Cass Tigers versus Widnes. What's your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I think
that's it. Cass is at home.
Yeah, I think Cass play that field too well for many teams, and Widnes are struggling at the moment to get a win. So yeah, Cass have got to be favourites for that, in my opinion.
The next game is Huddersfield Giants versus Hull KR. I'm gonna take the lead on this one. I think Giants at home at this point in time be too strong for Hull KR. Hull KR probably be celebrating over the course of the weekend this success that they've had moving on to the semi-final. So, I mean, we've both been in that position. Sometimes you can invest so much emotional energy into one game that the next league game sort of falls by the way a little bit. Then you guys will face Wakefield again, but this time at your place on Sunday afternoon. This will just be a reflection. I mean, tonight's game, you'll be, I guess, learning for Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday will be the big game. Obviously, we'll hopefully take the home field advantage with us, and that'll be a big thing for us, a big positive. So yeah, we'll be obviously looking to get the win there again.
An interesting matchup, and that's the final game on Sunday. That's Salford Red Devils against Catalans Dragons. How do you think that will go? Now obviously it's going to be warm all this weekend, the weekend. Catalans won't be fazed by 23, 24 degrees in Salford.
Yeah, I think it just depends much on if Cardi's back. I think he's not far off being back in the team, so if he's back, then they'll be a much better team. But we also know that Catalans really struggle away from home.
All right, another just a final quick look at the Kingston Press Championship. The Bulldogs, Bally Bulldogs, take on Doncaster. Featherston Rovers host Dewsbury. Halifax will host Sheffield. The Broncos will host Whitehaven. Tougher one for that. Lee Centurions are going up to Workington Town. Workington struggling at the moment. And the Bradford Bulls will be travelling. Their travelling army will be going across to the Hunslet Hawk. Okay, well, that's it for us this week. My thanks to Leon. And for all of you guys who are listening, wherever you are tonight, I'm sure you're walking towards the Providence Stadium as we speak right now, listening on your smartphones. Make sure you join us next Wednesday. Total Access is next here on Pulse One. So enjoy your lives, love your families, and live your rugby. I'm Robbie Hunter-Paul. Thanks for listening.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse One. Every Wednesday evening from 6.